Like this time, usually on a Saturday morning, it's my pleasure to welcome on air financial blogger. He writes on takechargeofyourmoney.blog. It's Brendan Dale. Brendan, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jeremy. Yes, thanks for having me again.
How is your 52-week savings challenge going?
It's going well. I've got just over 1,000 rand, and I'm waiting for the email that will pop out today.
Right.
And then do my transfer. So, yes, I'm on track with that.
Yeah, I received my first email. It asked me to deposit 10 bucks. I could afford to do a little better. So, I did a little better. And I'm impressed with my bank balance as well.
Yeah, that's good. So some of the weeks will get a bit tricky, but that's when you can do better, you may as well.
Exactly. So this week, we're talking about cancelling your store cards. We're also talking about how much we would need in order to retire comfortably. So let's start off this morning about talking about cancelling your store cards. Firstly, what do you mean when you talk about store cards, Brendan?
By store cards, I'm meaning all the stores that offer these cards where you can buy something now without paying for it right now. So you're buying something on credit, but it's not a credit card essentially. So it's your Edgar's card and Truworth and those kind of cards.
Okay. And of course, these store cards, and just correct me if I'm wrong, I don't have a credit card and I have no desire for one. Do these store cards come in with a higher interest rate in terms of payback than a credit card would?
No, they're normally around the same as a credit card, and also they lure you in with often they have a 6-month interest free, which sounds great, but that requires you to actually pay on time and be paying it off without hitting your 6-month limit, and it can be a bit tricky to sort of, you assume that it's free, but they catch you out.
Yeah. Well, this is what I wanted to ask you: is when you talk about 6 months buying on 6 months and getting credit free, is it really free?
It is if you are a very good customer and pay your money back as and when you need to. Okay. Then yes, but if you slip off on one little payment or you do something late, then all these extra things kick in.
Yeah. So why are these store cards bad for us?
You know, it's just too easy. Like that, I think that's the worst part. Is you don't have to have money with you in order to buy stuff, which is great. But it's so easy. You can just walk around and pick up a few shirts and buy them, even if you don't have any money.
Yeah, and I think that is the problem, because you're picking up stuff you don't really need only because you have credits. You have access to credit.
Yeah. No, it's so easy, and then also, because you're paying it off over 6 months or so, it's hard to budget, because what you're spending now is going to affect next month's budget, and even 3 or 4 months' time's budget is affected by what you're doing now. And it's impossible to keep track of that. Like no amount of admin or spreadsheets is going to help you work out how much you're actually going to have to be paying in a few months' time once you've been doing this. So it really messes up your budget, because then in your monthly budget, you actually don't have enough money left, because you're paying for things now from previous months that you've been spending on your card. So it kind of, you just get sucked into this whole debt cycle where you're paying for debt and you don't have enough money left, and you need more debt, so then you get more debt, and then the next month you still don't have money left, so then you get more debt, and it's a vicious cycle.
It is a vicious cycle. I remember a couple of years ago, before I became financially wise or started my journey onto financial wisdom, I would feel very chuffed when stores would send me personalized promotions and vouchers, and they would have my name and my surname and my address, and I would feel so cool and would be tempted, really tempted, to go out there and take advantage of those promotions. And these are the kinds of psychological tricks we need to look out for from these retailers.
Yeah, because it feels as though you deserve it, and you've made it in life, because now they're offering you these things. And it is a good feeling, but you have to remember that you have to actually pay it back, and you have to be able to afford it.
Yeah. So how do we remain conscious And how do we build up this resistance to saying yes to credit all the time? Now, Brendan, I do understand your car payment. Your car is a necessary debt. You don't need to change it every 5 years because that is just getting yourself into a debt cycle.
Yeah.
We don't buy homes every 5 years. So your mortgage is a very important purchase. In my book, and I know there are people who disagree, that is a form of good debt because it's something that's accruing value over time and you can dispense of it when you need to. But for the credit card scenario and the store card scenario, how do we conscientize people to get them to the point where they actually, where they find it easy to say no to these personalized offers and to these credit offers that we get daily on our phones via SMS?
That is a very, very good question. It's hard because you have to work it out for yourself. You know, like if you look at someone who's an addict and trying to recover, it has to come from within. No one can tell you to stop spending money. You have to have this realization, and that it's very hard to help people to have this self-realization. But some tips that you could do is you can either start spending cash only, and you withdraw a limit, so you withdraw 3,000 rand for the month or 5,000, and you physically see it go in, and you just don't allow yourself to spend more than that. Or another trick is just writing down each and every single expense, and at the end of the week, adding it all up and just looking at what you've spent, and that can sometimes be quite eye-opening.
Yeah. I'm inclined to hold this view, Brendan, that we need to start treating our addiction to debt as an illness, like we treat addiction to substances like an illness, because we've been so subtly conditioned through marketing that we need this, we need to do this, and we have become addicted to this debt cycle. A lot of people cannot, and they've gotten themselves into the cycle where they cannot get out of it right now, and they just see it as an impossibility, like with an addiction. But you have a couple of steps on this week's blog under the heading Cancel Your Store Cards that you can help us take that first step in terms of a recovery with regards to our addiction to debt and being in a debt cycle. Take us through those steps.
Sure. So, it's always a long journey. But the way I would do it is I'd look at all the store cards that I have and just write down how much you owe on each one and find the smallest one. So there might be one where you only owe, say, 300 Rand. And on that store, specifically, you throw away your card just right away. Just cut it up, chuck it off, and make sure you pay the payments that if you go into that store again, you use cash. So you don't allow yourself to create any more debt on that card, and you do whatever's necessary to pay that small one off. And then after that, you'll have a little bit extra because now you've paid off one debt, and then you start doing that with the next one. So you convert into cash so that you don't make more debt on that card, and you just slowly work in, whether it's 2 or 3 months or whatever, you pay it off. And then as you sort of start working towards your bigger debt amounts, you'll have more money available because you've freed it up from these smaller debts. So it's just doing one at a time and tackling the problem just slowly but steadily.
Okay, so you also need to close accounts, as you say, and that is one of, but it can also be very scary psychologically, Brendan, because debt has become like a crutch for many people.
Yes, and it is, and it's, You feel but what happens if I don't have money in a few months and like I need it? It's like my emergency fund almost. But yeah, you have to get out of that mindset. Like,
yeah.
You know, you could, if you really feel that debt is your emergency fund, you could maybe have one credit card.
Mm-hmm.
But having multiple cards at multiple places, it just makes the admin a bit of a nightmare. And I think it also gives you a lot of stress and anxiety knowing, especially when you're receiving letters at different times in the month of from everyone you owe money to.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be quite a stressful event.
Yeah. You know, I find this topic so important. We're not saying anything new, Brendan, but what we are doing with this particular conversation and the conversations that we have on a weekly basis is to conscientize people and to make them aware that, you know, there is a way out of debt, because I do know of people who they're on the brink of losing their homes and their cars, and some of them have been retrenched and they're stuck in debt. So it's a very important topic that we really just drive home in terms of education. It is 27 minutes after 5 o'clock. A very good morning to you. My name is Jeremy van Wyk. This is Weekend Early Breakfast. Myself and the team with you through until 6 a.m. this morning. My guest is financial blogger Brendan Dale. He writes a financial blog, takechargeofyourmoney.blog. Go over there and check it out. It has a lot of interesting articles and insights into how we can become financially wise and prosperous. Another topic we're talking about this morning, how much you need to retire. And of course, Brendan, this is probably one of the most talked about retirement questions, isn't it?
It is. Everyone wants to know how much do you need. And lots of people, unfortunately, assume that just by putting away a small percentage of their salary each month, that it will be fine, that they don't actually look at the questions and look at what they need and try to work out.
Yeah. So talk us through, firstly, getting to understand how much it is you would need to retire comfortably. Obviously, it depends on what age you are, what RAs you have at the moment, or if you don't have any, seeking advice on the monthly amount you would need to invest in order to retire comfortably. Would that be one of the first steps to take?
I think the first thing to do is kind of to understand your current situation, and then at least you can decide where you need to go or where you need to focus on. And, you know, the first thing you can do is just have a look at all your investments you currently have. So if you have RAs or pension fund at work or so, just find all these things and write down the values just to see what do you have right now. And then to actually work out how much you need for retirement, you know, it's impossible to do, because who knows what's going to happen in the future, you know, politics, country, economies. But there are some general rule of thumbs, kind of, I would say, best guesses. Mm-hmm. And it's, even though it's a guess, at least it's given you a direction to head. And what you can do is, if you know how much your monthly expenses are each month to live, so if perhaps your monthly expenses are 15,000 Rand. If you multiply that by 12 to get your annual expenses, and then you multiply that by 25. So it's basically 25 years worth of monthly expenses as they are now.
Yeah.
That's how much you would need. And that can be quite a big number.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Brendan Dale this morning, and I see you inserted a note, and you always do this, that you're not a financial advisor, and that the conversations we have during this particular feature is really just two people who are passionate about getting out of debt and getting our finances in order. So people also need to just seek help from a financial advisor if they need answers to more complex questions. But your article is talking about firstly looking at your expenses. You said you've done a spreadsheet which lists your monthly expenses in three categories. Just take us once again take us through that, Brendan.
So I do my own admin. I love admin, but what I do is I take my monthly salary, because I'm working at a corporate job, and I look at the expenses that are being deducted off my salary, because those are things that I can't do anything about. So it's things about group life cover and funeral cover, medical aid. Those kind of things just happen, but they are still expenses. Even though I'm not taking them out of my bank account, they're not actually coming to me, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
I like to keep track and just know what they are. Then I also look at my automated payments. So all the EFTs, the direct debit, that come off, and any automated payments off my credit card for Netflix and those kind of things. keep track of what all those are so that I'm not surprised at the end of the month. And then also, I have a monthly budget. So for this exercise of retirement, I just use the summary because I know what the total is.
Yeah.
And that's how I like to keep track of it.
Okay. So you have to, and this is very important because I learned this a little late in life, is that you need to draw up expenses in a way that makes sense to you.
No, definitely. Because I'm married and I like to do this exercise for us as a couple because it's got to make sense to you and your specific circumstances.
Yeah.
You need to work that out.
Very interesting. Love your message, Lauren in Fishhook. Lauren, thank you so much for sending in this SMS. If you don't have cash, don't get it. No credit card or in-store cards. Lauren says that I save money and then buy it. Wonderful, Lauren. Appreciate that message. And I think this is the message we also trying to convey through this feature, is that if you cannot afford it right now, rather save and be patient. And I think it's the same with planning for your retirement, with regards to being patient and letting this this investment of yours grow over time.
Yes, that implies that you've started the investment early enough. Then you can be patient. But if you're a late starter in this, then it's unfortunately, you really need to put some boomer into it.
Then
you don't have a lot of time left to get this going.
But I've heard financial planners saying this all the time. That is never too late to start saving or putting money away for your retirement. I think the only snag is that if you don't, in some cases, if you are over 55 and you don't have any retirement savings, it's going to be difficult for you to invest on a monthly basis anything more than 10,000 rand a month if you even have that much.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, it's never too late to start. So you just have to start. But you might not actually reach the retirement that you would like.
Yeah. The rule of 25, tell us about that.
So if you've got your annual expenses, you've multiplied about 25. In my little example, it's come out to almost 6 million rand, which sounds a lot, but if you're young enough and your investments can grow, it will work. But the theory is that your money is invested and it's growing each month by 7% is the sort of general theory. And you are withdrawing 4% of your money, which works out to the annual expenses you need. And you also account for inflation. So I've also put in a little spreadsheet here that you can download, but it really depends on how inflation is doing and how your growth is doing. But you can, if it works out over the long term, over the 25, 30 years, your money will last you. But, the more the merrier. So if you have more money, that's fine. But, so it's not an exact science, but it's certainly a target and something you should be sort of aiming towards.
Yeah. It is 25 minutes before 6 o'clock. My guest is financial blogger Brendan Dale. He writes his blog, takechargeofyourmoney.blog. And Brendan joins me every Saturday morning around about this time to talk about financial health and financial planning, etc., etc. Brendan is not a financial planner, but he has a passion when it comes to helping you and I understand in layman's terms the importance of finance and planning for the future. Creating income streams is very important, Brendan, as you save up for your retirement.
Yes, to me it's almost more important than investing, but I don't want to be like saying that as a de facto thing, but creating income streams, you really need, when you retire and you're not actually having your stable job, you need money still coming in. Because that will make the amount of money you need to invest now even less, because you'll have extra money coming in throughout. And that is so crucial. And it can either be through a rental property or a little business that you've started that you'll be able to still run when you're in retirement. There are many, many thoughts and ideas of what it is. If you have a product that you could sell, like a book or even an electronic book, it's vital to focus on creating some form of passive income. And yeah. It's not easy. It's really not easy. People sort of tout it as the be-all and end-all, and you just quickly make some income streams.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah,
but it's worth the effort.
Yeah, you know, I'm very hopeful and inspired by the political situation in the country at the moment, especially given the SONA, that our economy is. I think we literally hit rock bottom as an economy, and that we can go up. And I'm hopeful that for those of us who still have the strength to work, that it will become easier in the future in South Africa to find other income streams as we save for our investments. I have a message coming in from Sep in Gordon's Bay. Sep, I don't really understand what you're asking. The question is, would that formula be per person or including my spouse? Sep, maybe you just want to give us a little bit more detail.
I've got that one.
Okay.
So it's your, because the formula is your annual expenses multiplied by 25. If you're in a relationship, personally, I do it as a joint budget. So I take our joint expenses and I multiply it by 25. And it does become tricky because one spouse might retire 5 or 10 years sooner than another spouse. But just for the sake of easier admin, I like to do it as a joint figure.
Yeah. Okay. Then another message coming in this morning, Brendan, and it's talking about two issues, but I'll read the piece that talks to what we're talking about right now. Hi, Jeremy, I agree with you. No credit card for me ever. If I can't afford it, if I can't afford what I want, I don't buy it. And I think that is the message I want to leave people with this morning. If you cannot afford it, don't buy it, and save, save, save. Your closing comments this morning, Brendan?
It's just, to me, it's all about living within your means. You can have a few luxury items, you can go out and do things, but as this last comment said, if you can't afford it, you mustn't have it. So it's all about living really within your means, with no credit, well, with no debt. And debt doesn't have to be a normal part of life. You really can sort that issue out and get beyond that.
I love that. Debt doesn't have to be a normal part of life as it has become in modern times. Brendan Dale, he's a financial blogger. Go and check out his blog site, takechargeofyourmoney.blog. Brendan, thank you so much for joining me this week. I won't be here next week. I'll speak to you the week after that. Have a wonderful Saturday. Are you coming to Moonstruck, by the way? On Fourth Beach?
I'm not. When is it?
Well, we'll see you there next year. Brendan, have a lovely day. Thanks for coming on here, my friend.
All right.
Cheers, mate.